Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil the Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I don't remember the last time I actually was in my vehicle recording a podcast, but today is today. I have errands to run and some business to take care of, so I am off the rest of the afternoon and decided to come and talk to you guys. Hope everyone got an opportunity to tune into last week's podcast on Juneteenth and some of the things that were just kind of going on in my life and my world that I wanted to kind of talk about and discuss. I hope that it was informative. I hope that it was empowering. I hope that it was thought-provoking. I hope that you laughed a little bit, you know, because that's always good if there's a little laughter. But I think that it's important. Like, I wanted to talk about joy because I think with everything that's going on in the world, it's important to still buy into joy and talk about things that make us happy, talk about things that make us laugh, talk about things that make us smile. Because I don't think we do that enough. And I think it's important. I have friends who are interviewing for new roles. I have friends who have received promotions. I have friends who are relocating because they've got new jobs. Friends who are getting married. Friends who are having children. And all of this in the midst of a global pandemic and, you know, horrible things happening to our community, you know, but we're still finding ways to thrive and survive. And I think that's important. Even myself, I am embarking on the journey of home ownership, which I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've had some PTSD about the entire process for a number of years. So for those of you who don't know, probably 2011, 2012, there was a Atlanta Beltline project that was offering down payment assistance of up to like $40,000. And I found about it at the last minute and they were pretty much raffling off units in this building. Someone had bought this building and outfitted it for 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom lofts. And it was in Reynoldstown, and I was really, really excited. I went, I looked at the unit, I did the pre-qualification. I've always had fairly decent credit, so that wasn't the issue. As always, it was student loan and credit card debt juxtaposed to earned income. So the debt-to-income ratio was the thing, but it was a conventional loan project. It was being funded by a large bank. Bank of America, and I went for it. So I went for it, got pre-qualified, went back for the raffle off event with my really good friend Antoinette, and I actually got a unit. It wasn't exactly the unit that I wanted, but I got a unit, and you start the process. And as I was going through underwriting and whatnot like that, I didn't have the income to support it. But it was never really communicated to me. My experience in terms of the business relationship between myself and Bank of America was not a very good one. And to this day, I still have qualms about them as an institution, and won't support them or suggest people use them. but nonetheless, I think that thing kind of, you know, to go through the excitement of being pre-qualified, getting funding, to go through the excitement of participating in the raffle and actually getting a unit and getting excited about the process. And I would have been one of my first friends to purchase a home. Well, not one of my first friends, because my best friend Andromeda did already have a house. But I guess in my immediate friend group, my actual classmates, like those people, I definitely would have been one of the first. And I was excited. And I wasn't necessarily trying to set a precedent. It was just, I was in alignment. I was working full-time, had been working full-time for a number of years, so it just made sense. And it was right where I was like, well, you know, I was still trying to leave Atlanta, you know, bear that in mind. I was still trying to leave Atlanta. I was in my graduate program. I was trying to finish that up and make that transition from corporate America to nonprofit world and really use my arts administration degree. And I, you know, this came up and I was like, well, maybe this is a sign that I should stay here. You know, if this works out, maybe I should try to make a run of things here in Atlanta and not try to get away from this place. And when it didn't work out, I was like, well, maybe I should leave. Maybe I should go. And I went through that whole journey of trying to get out of here. And, you know, several years later, several heartbreaks later, several, you know, significant things in my life later, and I'm still here in Atlanta. So almost 17 years, 12 years post undergrad completion. And, you know, rent isn't getting any cheaper. And obviously the increases that I'm getting in terms of income are not necessarily outpacing the cost of living increases that are kind of occurring in the city and in the surrounding areas. So I was like, maybe it's time to look at it again. And so every year for my birthday, I create this theme for myself. And for 34, it was getting my houses in order, my mental house, my physical house, my spiritual house, my financial house. And I guess over the years, I've focused on each one of them individually, but the reality is that they all kind of work in tandem. And if you can get them all in a stable position, they're all not going to be great at the same time, but if you can get them all in a stable position, that's probably the most beneficial alignment you can have. So, obviously ebbs and flows. I don't think I've completely mastered any of the individual houses throughout this year. Like, I've started and done certain things, you know, tried to participate in Sunday school, and now it's virtual, and trying to pray more and trying to read more in terms of the Bible, you know, just trying to get my relationship with Christ, my personal relationship, in a better place. Physically, obviously, I had joined the gym because I was in relationship with someone who really enjoyed the gym, and they was like, well, we should do it together. And I finally got the gym membership. We didn't necessarily work out together because I don't really like the gym, so it was a struggle for me. But, you know, being that we were in COVID-19 and kind of locked up, I started doing like these COVID workouts, which until recently, when I wasn't feeling well, I was doing pretty much on a regular basis and had gotten up to 100 push-ups a day, which was great, you know. In terms of my financial house, I had kind of said this year that I was going to start that process. Oh, mental house, obviously, back in therapy, regularly having those tough conversations about things that need to be examined and looked at. So that's definitely interesting. But something that, you know, I have gone to therapy for almost 10 years now, not necessarily every year, every month, every day. Like, there's been some times where I've taken breaks from it, but for the last 10 years, like, I've had a therapist, somebody I could always go and check in with, you know? So I was pretty good on the mental tip, but the financial thing was the thing, you know, creating a budget and living by that budget and trying to save more money. And I've definitely had some help because there were some windfalls throughout the fourth quarter of 2019 and top of 2020 that really helped me to save and, you know, put some money away and pay some things down. I haven't paid anything off. One of the big things was consolidating my private student loans, which I was able to do, thank God, through a company, get them away from Navient, because I never would have gotten ahead. And so just trying to make those financial moves. So I had a conversation with my aunt at the end of last year about home ownership and, you know, that whole thing and that whole piece, which again was something that was on my mind, but I think I just had that PTSD from that past experience of it not going well. So I went to a NACA workshop at the top of the year. So for those of you who don't know what NACA is, it's a program that's designed for first-time home buyers, or, you know, traditionally people who would be unable to qualify for a home loan, a traditional home loan, a conventional loan, or FHA loan, because NACA doesn't look at a person's credit history. So, you know, it pulls it, but it doesn't look at your score. It's really just pulling your credit history to see your payment history. How good have you been with payments? And so if a person has suffered from a bankruptcy or suffered from a foreclosure or different things like that, obviously those things come into play. But trying to get a loan, a conventional loan or FHA loan, with some of those parameters can be very, very challenging. Whereas through the NACA program, though, you know, there's a lot more flexibility. And above all things, there's no down payment required. I do believe there's small closing costs. I don't remember exactly, but there's no down payment. And that's a big chunk, you know, people trying to come up with 3, 5, 10, 20% of the cost of the home and the cost of the loan in order to, you know, lessen how much money they have to pay monthly for a mortgage is a big deal for a lot of people. And so I went to the workshop to get the information for myself. I know people who had talked about the program, people who have gone through the program, people who are currently working through the program, some people who have successfully closed, and some people who have gone another way. But I was like, well, it's a start. What I found with the program is it really is trying to build people for home ownership. And what that means, you know, the budget aspect of things, the saving aspect of things, to improve and increase your credit. Not that they're looking at score, but to make sure that you can maintain. And I was like, okay, this is great. I knew I had some work that I needed to do. I knew I needed to create a budget and really look at how much I spent. So I spent the entire month of January and I think half of February, like, literally saving every receipt. And so when I sat down and did the budget, it was as accurate as it possibly could be, because I was like, okay, I have every gas receipt, I have every food receipt to see how much money I'm spending eating out, spending how much money I'm actually spending on gas, because I'm active. I mean, I live close to my job, but I sing at a church that's not as close to me. I sing in a professional chorus that's not that close to me. So there are other things that I do that are not near me, and I'm spending money to do that, you know. So just really realistically looking at things and seeing how much things cost. And it was eye-opening to see how much money I didn't have. And when you start to put things on paper, it really, I think I've always been scared of paper, like literally putting numbers on paper. It's a very daunting process, but it's very necessary because you need to know. And that's a big part of home ownership. And so I did that, and then COVID-19 happened. And things kind of got delayed, and you know, everybody's talking, well, it's a great time to buy. Interest rates are at an all-time historical low. I've always had good credit. That's always been very important to me, maintaining a solid number. There have definitely been times in my life where things have been much better than they are now, but there have also been times in my life where things have not been as good as they are now. And so I was like, let's go for it, you know. I started having the conversation, got a realtor, started talking to loan officers, and I got approved, and I'm starting that process, you know. But it can be frustrating at times, because again, you really don't know until things are put on paper and somebody tells you, no, this is really what your affordability is, this is really what you can afford to do, this is really where you can afford to live. And obviously I live in Metro Atlanta. I would love to stay within the perimeter, for those of you. Yeah, I mean, I think people understand what the perimeter is. I don't have to explain it. But I want to stay within the city limits. I don't want to be in any far extreme of one direction. So as far as Atlanta is concerned, I don't want to be far east. I don't want to be far west. I don't want to be far southeast or southwest. I don't want to be far northeast or northwest. I kind of want to be smack dab in the middle. Smashed in the middle, smack dab in the middle. That comes from a commercial. Okay, anyway, sorry. Random moment. But I want to be in the middle. And that's difficult, because we all know that you get the biggest bang for your buck when you are willing to move further out. But I don't want to be, I don't really know what's going to happen when we do return to normal, in terms of, or what normal looks like. I mean, I'm working from home now, and prior to COVID-19, didn't really consider working from home. Like, people had asked me about the option, and I was like, well, I live relatively close. So, you know, working from home for me wasn't that big of a deal. Like, I'm literally 15 miles away from my job. It's a straight shot. I'm going against traffic when I go to work. I'm going against traffic when I come home. And so 20, 25 minutes tops to get where I need to go. I actually live close enough that if I forget something at home, I could go home at lunch and make it back in time. Well, that might be a little tricky coming from Gwinnett, but nonetheless, just trying to figure all that out, you know. And it's been challenging, because my realtor had me do something I think is really important. She had me make a trifold list. The list was have to haves, no, need to haves, or have to haves, need to have to haves. I think have to haves. Have to haves, nice to haves, dream. And based on that list and the areas I said I would consider, she drafted, you know, she put the parameters in and it populates this home search for me. And anytime something becomes available, it kind of pops up. And so it gives me an idea. And when you're looking at pictures, you know, it's just like when you're looking at cars or you're looking at apartments. I think we've all been through this process. You're looking at pictures and things are creatively shot. we know this from Instagram also. Things are creatively shot. And so you're like, okay, maybe, I mean, you know, you really, it's almost like a death. Some things have to die in you of what you thought you wanted, what you thought you could have, what you thought you could afford. And it's really, really a process. It's mental warfare, seemingly, you know, really reconciling and figuring out what it is you can afford and what you can't afford. But you know, some of the advice that I've been given is after you get past all of that, you're looking for sanctuary. You're looking for something that makes you feel like home, you know, and it may not be perfect and it may not have everything you want. And that's the reality. It may have a lot of things you want, but it may not have everything you want. But the purpose is how you feel. Is it something that you can live with? You know, are there enough things that make you happy about the space? And it's about your space. And try not to get intimidated about what other people are doing. Because I have other friends who are also buying homes. And if I'm honest with myself, it's like, dang, I wish I could have qualified for more. I wish I could be in a situation where I could do this or do that. And I can't, you know. And I'm one of those people, I celebrate everybody. You know what I'm saying? And when I feel emotions of envy or jealousy, I really pray hard on that, because that's personal and that doesn't have anything to do with the other person. And you never want your own insecurities about where you are to rain or dampen on the successes of other people. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm cognizant of that, but we're human. We're human. And when you know somebody is, you know, about to buy that brand new car, and you know, you like, oh, I wish I could, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't afford a BMW. Would I like a BMW? Well, not really. But I just use that as an example. You know, I don't necessarily drive a luxury car. I definitely have friends who drive luxury cars, and I'm like, dang, I wish I could afford a luxury car. You know what I'm saying? But not to the point where it's like I'm hating on them because they can. I still want to celebrate them. And so I'm aware of that headspace and being cognizant of that and making sure that I pray that off. Because that's just not cool, you know? And I have so many people in my life who celebrated me when maybe there were things going on in their lives that weren't worth celebrating, you know? Like I say, I've always had good credit, but I've definitely had friends who've had challenges getting things that they wanted because they didn't have the credit that I have. And I've definitely had friends say, you know, well, give me your credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to have your credit. And so it's just a process, but I'm learning a lot about myself. I guess that's just the theme for 2020, learning about yourself, being in a situation where you're isolated, and figuring out things, having to figure out things. It's been interesting. But I just say all that to say that with everything going on in the world, and I think I hinted at this last week, it is okay to be joyful about things going well for you. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the pain that's happening within our community, but definitely celebrate yourself and definitely continue to focus on your dreams and your goals, and don't be thrown off kilter because of that. Push. When I embarked on this journey at the top of the year, I thought I was going to follow NACA through and through. And my thought process was, if I don't close in 2020, that's okay, because I'm learning good habits that will allow me to sustain a household and not just get one. And then, like I said, COVID-19 happened. And it's not that NACA isn't a good program, but I was like, but, you know, you can actually qualify for a home loan, and you should really go and see. You should shake off that PTSD from that last bad experience and go for it and see what's out there and see what's available to you. And it's that same thing, no pressure. If you don't close today, if you don't close in 60 days, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? If it takes you until the end of the year to close, that's fine. But, you know, put yourself out there, look, see what you want, you know, come to terms with things, make some tough decisions about what it is you want. If it's single family, if it's townhome, if it's new construction, if it's older construction, if it's something that, you know, doesn't have everything that eventually needs to be renovated, all of those things, you know, but just write the list, make it plain, talk to friends, to people you trust, talk to family, people you trust about their thoughts, and just get to it. And so I'm happy and really excited about the process and what's to come. And I just wanted to share that because it's something different. It's kind of away from the regular doom and gloom that we're experiencing right now in the world, with a global pandemic that is still very much so going on. So I just want to tell people, still be in those streets with your mask on and social distancing and washing your hands. And for those of you who are wearing gloves, you know, whatever your process is, still hold to it, because we still don't have a vaccine. Numbers are still trending upward, so be careful. But with that going on, and the fact that there are so many people who are protesting and doing the frontline work, you know, doing the work that I'm not doing. I'm not in the streets protesting. It's just not, it ain't me. But what I have done is I have donated to causes that are doing the groundwork, you know, and that's the thing, you know, support it any way you can. But with all that going on, and obviously something that we can't ignore, we know that it exists. There's nothing wrong with celebrating your joys and still having goals and still wanting to reach those, and not feeling bad about progress, the progress that you've made. It's important. I don't want to diminish my progress at all, you know? And I want to celebrate everybody who's been promoted and everybody who's got a new job and everybody who's getting married and everybody who's having kids and, you know, everybody who is doing major life things and able to do major life things at this time. Like that, I think that's even wilder, that people are securing new jobs. People are starting families and building families. People are moving into their new homes. People are buying new vehicles. People are doing these things in the midst of all of this. And you know, trying to stay sane, but, you know, just pushing forward. So that's the message today. Continue to stay positive. I wish we could all wake up and the world would be different tomorrow. And it is clear with every video that I've seen, of someone's interaction with someone who doesn't look like us, and how that goes. It's clear to me that there's still so much work to be done, but, you know, we just have to continue to do the work and find ways to empower each other and really find ways to hold on to our joy and not let it be diminished, you know, despite what's going on. Anyway, I love y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for liking. Thanks for sharing. I don't know what I would be without you. And I'm just tremendously grateful for this opportunity and this platform and to share just my thoughts and what's going on with me. Again, continue to like, continue to share, continue to rate on your favorite podcast application, whether it is Apple or Google, or whether you listen here, you listen to Spotify, because all those things make a difference. I'm going to continue to try to be consistent in terms of content. So bear with me, because it is a little bit more challenging during this time than I thought it would be. But I think it's about getting back to my joy and remembering how much fun I have when I get to escape and kind of have this space to be with you guys for, you know, even a little while. You know, last week was a little long. This week will definitely be shorter. But remembering how good that feels, to just share my thoughts and tell you what I'm thinking and what's going on with me and how people look forward to it. So I thank you. I love you. be back next week, hopefully.
I don't want to overpromise.
Anyway, see you at next podcast.
Bye.